Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here. And we are kicking off our draft series once again this year, our long-awaited draft series. It's going to go for the entire month of April. This show, as always, is brought to you by Prize Picks. For you out-of-staters, I can't say that enough. Use the promo code 5, F-I-V-E. You deposit $100, you get $100. It's as simple as that. BetterEdge.com/5 reasons. You could go there and you get $20 just for signing up. All right. The quarterback class of 2024. I guess I'll start in a negative light. This class got a lot of hype for a pretty long while, as soon as the college season ended. And it's been compared some to the 2020 class, even because of certain players in it. But I just don't see it. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's only one quarterback in this class that belongs with that class of 2020. I think this is an okay class. I don't see it as a generational one. I like Caleb Williams. I find fault with everybody else. Your thoughts, Simon?
I disagree. I think it's a very strong class. I think there's 5 or 6 quarterbacks at the top who I think are intriguing, excellent. I like Williams an awful lot, and I assume we'll get into talking about them individually, but I think it's a good class. I think you look at Daniels' experience. He doesn't give the ball away. He's never given the ball away. He's never put the ball in jeopardy. He threw one pick as a true freshman in his first 9 practices, which is amazing to me. May just reminds you of that kind of Allen Herbert kind of alien type with his physicality, his size, his ability to move the ball with his feet. Big arm, Penix. Love Michael Penix. Love what he can do with the ball. And I think if you build a system around him, I think he can be an absolute knockout. McCarthy's going to go really high, and he's polarizing for a reason. But also, I think you've got to look way past the numbers with him. And then even you throw in, a Spencer Rattler and I don't like particularly Bo Nix, but there are teams that are going to like Bo Nix. I think there's I think it's a good group at the top, and headed up by Williams, who might be, might be the best of all of them if you compare the 2020 class and this one, depending on how you feel.
Chris?
Yeah, I think that this class deserves its flowers from what I've seen. I think that, like Simon said, Caleb Williams has been known about for a couple of years now, and I think that he is a legitimate number one overall type of prospect. I might have some concerns about some of the other guys, but that's what you have to understand about is, go through every class and, think about even the guys that turned out phenomenal. Think about going all the way back to the Patrick Mahomes class, with, he and Deshaun Watson in that, up near the top of that class, along with Mitch Trubisky. There were concerns. There were legitimate concerns about Patrick Mahomes. There were legitimate concerns about Deshaun Watson coming out. And, Deshaun Watson has other issues now, obviously. But when you go through this class and you say, for example, Jaden Daniels, do I have some concerns about him staying healthy with his playing style? Yeah, I actually do. Do I have some concerns that Drake May, might, I don't know if he's, I don't know how tough he is. I don't know if he's, compares in toughness with the last UNC quarterback who Sam Howell, I don't think is a very good quarterback for the NFL personally, but how tough is he? Is he another Sam Darnold, something like that? I have that concern about him. Penix obviously has had a lot of issues staying healthy. And so everybody you go down the list, you're going to have some sort of concern about it, but that's actually pretty normal going back through the years, and overall, it's just this is a class full of very good, you know, good size, good arm strength, good accuracy, good performance, good efficiency, good feel. There's a lot of that all over this class, all over the top of it anyway. And I think once you get beyond a certain number of these guys, probably not many of them are worth, you know, looking at, but at the top, I think they kind of deserve it. They deserve their flowers. Even if you have a few buyer beware.
Yeah. Now Caleb Williams to the Bears seems like, you know, it's a foregone conclusion, but the draft begins at number two with the Commanders, but I'm going to skip right ahead. And I guess you guys could fill in the blanks in between Caleb Williams and pick number three, but we're going to talk a little New England Patriots, because it kind of concerns the Dolphins of what happens at number three. I heard very, very early on in the process that, but remember, this was a different regime. It was Bill Belichick in charge. I heard very early on that they were kind of enamored with Jaden Daniels. Other things have been said about this pick at number three for the Patriots. There's no way they're going to do something dumb like take a tackle or trade out of that spot. They got to take their quarterback here. Where do you think they're going with this, Simon?
Well, unless they trade out, I mean, they could really like, you know, Penix, for example. They could trade out, and depending on where Michael ends up going, depends on how far you move back. You know, you get an extra pick, and then you can, you know, they need a receiver, they need a quarterback. You know, you could take Harrison here and then trade up and, you know, get into the back end of the first round if you like Nix, for example. If Penix gets past the Raiders, do you, you know, so I think it's likely that they take a quarterback. I actually think they'll take JJ McCarthy if they take anybody. You know, like you say, Williams is gone, and there's lots of amazing things that he does. You know, dynamic skill set, big arm, extend plays. There are similarities in play style between him and what Patrick Mahomes did at Texas Tech. I do worry about how much of that sandlot football that he plays is really translatable, especially given the defenses that he played at USC. He almost toys with defenses for reasons that you don't really feel are particularly necessary, like the kind of the getting the snap, running round and round and round three times and then throw. That is not translatable at the next level. You know, and it's almost like he gets bored. I think he really needs to be coached hard to go back to being a, you know, don't drift off the midline, just, you know, just point and throw. That's what he's really good at. Daniels, I think, you know, whether that's Washington, whether that's New England, I think both those coaching staffs will appreciate the fact that through high school and college, he's got 103 starts, 55 starts in college, 53 in high school. He's got elite arm confidence. He's got a great deep ball. He beats you with his feet. Like Chris says, that you'd worry a little bit about the fact that he gets hurt, but I think he can probably, or the potential to get hurt because he's so dynamic as a runner. But I think you can probably coach some of that out of him, and certainly coach out of him not to get hit as much. But he's got a kind of a Michael Vick-y, Lamar Jackson-y type style. He's not as dynamic a runner, but he is that style. He's a great anticipatory thrower. I think he's a really interesting guy. But the Patriots are fast. Look, the one thing that was mentioned to me today by a Patriot, somebody who knows the Patriots intimately, mentioned McCarthy, who apparently has been phenomenal in the pre-draft build-up in terms of how he is mentally, how he is mature, how he is a leader. The one thing that was mentioned to me is that the belief in NFL circles is that, ironically, we mentioned this on OnlyFans a few weeks ago, is that the Chargers have had at least exploratory conversations in the building about whether they would trade Justin Herbert and take JJ McCarthy. Now, you take that for what it is. I almost, 99.9% won't happen. But right. Can you imagine what would happen on
draft? But we could hope. We could hope.
Well, but do you want Justin Herbert, the Patriots? I know I don't. I mean, you don't want Justin Herbert in the division. You know, so I would much rather have JJ McCarthy in the division than Justin Herbert. But regardless, I mean, can you imagine what would happen? That the internet would explode if that happened. But yeah, I suspect for the Patriots, it comes down to probably Daniels or or
JJ
McCarthy.
McCarthy.
Yeah, it just depends who's on the board. You know, if it just goes Williams one, Daniels two, I think it'll be McCarthy straight up to New England at three.
Chris, who are
Yeah,
you?
I think.
Yeah, are you hate? How are you hate watching pick number three if you can assign the most bustable of the prospects?
Well, I mean, who I think, who I hope that they take is either, Bo Nix or Drake May.
Please take Bo Nix.
Please take Bo Nix. And that would be who I hope. We've talked about a little bit with the whole the Chargers thing and how interesting that would be if they were to do the unthinkable and trade away Justin Herbert for a boatload of picks and then go with JJ McCarthy. Interestingly enough, the contract is not as much of an issue with that as people might think. The only issue with the contract that way would be I believe he has a no trade clause. So Herbert would have, some leverage and say over that process, and that probably right there just squelches the whole thing. Makes it a non-starter, which it should be anyway, to be honest. But I think that, the more I look at JJ McCarthy, I think the more I respect him as a quarterback prospect. The more I respect his feel, his pocket movement, his footwork and the way that he throws the ball, his accuracy, the way that he can layer the football, the way that, there's a lot there. Obviously he doesn't have the sort of gun that we're talking about with some of the other guys, particularly, Drake May, Caleb Williams. But I respect him a lot as a quarterback prospect, and I don't want to necessarily see him in New England, to be honest. So would I prefer that they take a Drake May? Would I prefer that they take a Bo Nix? Yeah, I would. Jaden Daniels, I respect him, and that's sort of the guy you watch him play, and with how dynamic he is, you don't really want to bet against him. Because that's a sucker's bet. I think time and again we've seen in the
Yeah, not
NFL
to
that.
sorry to interrupt you, but not to slight Caleb Williams in any way. Out of all these prospects, I think Jaden Daniels sees the field best out of all of them.
Well, possibly.
He gets the throws
I think
that
they
a
all
lot of
see
these
the
other guys
field. I
just
think
don't.
they all see the field fairly well. Caleb, one of the issues there is I watched. It's sort of a disease that takes hold, and I watched it happen with Patrick Mahomes. I watched it happen with Josh Allen, which is to say that hey, there is a reason that these guys run around and hold the ball the longest and play some playground football, and it's not just because they want to. I think that Zach Wilson held the ball forever because he just wanted to, and because he was, if you look at his offensive line play, they were way ahead of the pass rushes that they faced. I don't think that's true of USC's offensive line. I don't think that that's true of the pass protection that Caleb Williams has generally had. But at the same time, once you reach that tipping point where, a quarterback starts to believe it's all on him and every single play is just going to be, extra time and toying with the defense, as Simon called it. It you reach a tipping point of that no confidence, and then it goes too far, and then you start doing it egregiously, and it becomes sort of a habit. It happened with Patrick Mahomes. There was a reason it happened, but at the same time, he went too far with it. It happened with Josh Allen. There was a reason it happened, but again, he went too far with it. I think the same is true with Caleb Williams. And I think that yes, when he gets into the NFL, they're going to dial that back. And he might also be surprised that he has a pocket in the NFL that's worth dialing it back a little bit. That makes it worth dialing back. So we'll see how that works out for him. But Patriots at three, I would just assume they avoid Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and JJ McCarthy personally.
The one thing you mentioned there about McCarthy that's really interesting, and I think it speaks to the fact that he played in, a kind of a pop gun offense where he was a mainly, a point and shoot passer in a fairly kind of moribund attack.
Yeah, very, very structured offense.
Look, when you got to throw it around, you actually saw a lot of plus traits. His great poise, as Chris mentioned, great poise, very quick release, ball jumps off his hand. He looks like a pure thrower. He's smooth and he's fluid. He has a great base. His feet are excellent. He's really balanced. I think his arm is significantly stronger than he's been given credit for. And I think you go back and look at the numbers in terms of, and I know Chris loves a combined velocity. You go back over the last few years and you look at the numbers of, the quarterbacks delivered on the velocity scale. And you start with Josh Allen with a 62, which is the highest that I can, Pat Mahomes had a 55. Allen had a 62. Just go through some other names that Daniel Jones had a 54. Going to 2020, Tua didn't throw. Joe Burrow didn't throw. Jalen Hurts had a 54. Jordan Love a 54. Justin Herbert had a 55. 2021, Kenny Pickett had a 54. Sam Howell a 55. Malik Willis a 58. And then last year, CJ Stroud had a 56. JJ McCarthy had a 61. In terms of miles per hour velocity delivery, the arm strength, I think people would be surprised at. And I think part of it is down to the fact that the offense just didn't, wasn't a deep ball throwing offense. But I think his arm is significantly stronger than people think. And he's such an
Well, he
interesting.
also layered the ball in a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
and
Absolutely.
that will take away from your perception of the arm strength.
Yeah. The one thing that I think the thing that concerns me most is how lean he is. I remember, I know he's put weight on. He was 219 at the combine, but a few months ago, Albert Breer said that scouts had said they were shocked at how slight he was in real life. Somebody called him a stretched out Bryce Young, and I suspect he probably played at around 200 pounds. I suspect that 19 was a bit of extra weight and a bit of water weight at the combine. But he's such a fascinating character and player, and he's a real off the field. Apparently he's been absolutely outstanding on the board and stuff at the combine and at Michigan's pro day and those sorts of things. So very interested to see where he ends up.
All right, one last thing. I have seven guys and a possibly eighth in the top 100. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. Michael Penix Jr., JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler. Those are my seven. Is there a quarterback I'm missing that can crack the top 100 that I didn't list? And on the way out, your top three in this draft.
I think Michael Pratt of Tulane, maybe not the top 100, but I think there'll be teams who look at him as a kind of a, 44 starts. He's kind of safe. He's a solid mid-round guy for a team looking for a guy who understands how to attack zone. He's a decent touch passer. The ball comes out quickly. Whether he has the tools to be a top half starter, I don't know, but I think there's been a bit of love in the scouting community for Michael Pratt. The one X factor guy, and again, he's probably not a top 100 guy, but it is Jordan Travis of Florida State. Obviously he's coming off the serious injury that he suffered at the back end of the year, the break of the ankle. But he just got better and better and better as he progressed. He made clear strides in all aspects of his game. He is an older prospect. I think he's 24, or be 24 by training camp. But he makes loads of plays out of structure. He's extremely athletic. He's accurate. He knows how to move the chains. The arm strength is kind of middling, but it's not, it's not bad. I think probably that they're the next two cabs off the rank, as it were. I suspect neither of them go in the top 100, but I think that, I get the sense from talking to people that there is a bit of love for Pratt as a, a high character guy, maybe a kind of a poor man's Kirk Cousins in a way. That's maybe how I'd scheme him, Chris.
I don't know about top 100s because then I think you start to get into some philosophical issues with respect, how do you really stack your board of quarterbacks versus other positions? Because frankly, the quarterback position is so need driven. And if you really, need a guy, then you really need a guy. And if you don't really need a guy, then you don't really need a guy. And, and then if you don't really need a guy, then it starts to get a little bit difficult to justify second, third round picks on that position, just depending on a lot of different factors. I will say that one guy that I'd keep an eye on, for day three, even for the Miami Dolphins, and a lot of people don't necessarily like the guy, but I think that he's going to get a lot of chances in the NFL, just as he's gotten a lot of chances in college. And that's Joe Milton, Joe Milton of Tennessee, because the bottom line is this is a guy that notches what, 6'5", 235, something like that. With an absolutely ridiculous arm. He's shown, through his history in college, you marry him up with somebody like Golesh, Alex Golesh, and it can look pretty good. Maybe in some other circumstances it might not, but also if you track him from year to year, I think there have been some areas of improvement that he's had as a passer, in terms of getting the football out more quickly, in terms of his accuracy, things like that. Like there's been improvement, and as long as there's upward trajectory in addition to that, that good size and monstrous arm, then the NFL are going to be interested in that guy. So I think that the NFL might like him more than a lot of other people do. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him targeted by somebody. We're not talking day one or anything like that, but
I will counter on Milton, and I will say that he ran an incredibly simplistic one read offense. He couldn't handle many of the fundamentals you'll see on Sunday. Can't consistently operate a multi-read scheme, no touch, processing issues out the door, stared down targets, no anticipation whatsoever, completed 38% of his passes beyond 10 yards despite the massive arm. And I didn't think he showed a lot of development, especially underneath. He just continued to throw the ball way too hard and too fast underneath. And I think the rocket arm is all well and good, and it's great. He says he can throw at 86 yards, which is fantastic. But to me, he's a camp arm, albeit a massive one.
All right, we're going to go to break right now. But before we do, one last thing. I lied when I said that I had one last question. One last thing, and this is your chance to call your shot as Chris Kaufman, our own Chris Kaufman, two drafts ago, threw the name of Brock Purdy out there as a possible seventh-round pick for the Miami Dolphins. Here's your shot. Not that they're going to do this, but let's say inside the building they've decided Skylar Thompson is just not our developmental quarterback. We're going to go get another one, and we're going to use one of these sixth-round picks. Maybe we'll use a seventh-round pick on this guy. Who is that guy, Simon?
Who is that guy? I mean, it's hard to say who is that guy. It might be Carter Bradley, Gus Bradley's son, who's a kind of pro-style passer, decent arm strength, quick delivery, can whip the ball all over the place, some nice velocity. He's been around Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and Trevor Lawrence, so he understands what it takes to be an NFL passer. He's a guy that I just don't think there's a Devin Leary might be the other guy, the kid at Kentucky, doesn't put the ball up for grabs, good arm strength. We talk about layering the ball. He can layer it to all three levels of the field. He's tough. He stands in the pocket. I just think, some of the decision-making, some of the accuracy outside the numbers, some of the consistency overall, he's undersized, he's a day three pick who could end up becoming a solid number two. I mean, this was a guy who was Gatorade Player of the Year in New Jersey. He had a lot of injuries as well. And then the other name, I suppose, is Tua's brother, Taulia Tagovailoa. Mm-hmm. Does Mike throw the Tagovailoa family a bone and bring in Tua's brother? I think it's unlikely because I think he's only 5'10", 200 pounds, but yeah, we'll see. But Brock Purdy is a, Purdy was a good quarterback at Iowa State for a long time, just probably had He had a really strong freshman year, strong sophomore year, not quite as good junior, not quite as good senior, but yeah, I'm not sure I see that guy.
Chris, you're gonna try to do it again?
Simon cheated. He took too many names. I was gonna say
Sorry.
Talia. I was gonna say Talia, because I don't think there's things about it that it seem like, just because he is Tua's brother, it's almost like it can't happen. But by rights, if he were named some, if he were had a different name, then I would be looking at him, because, say what you want about Tua, that family know how to move their feet, evidently, as quarterbacks. That family know how to operate the pocket, how to have a feel, how to, use space and use their feet to manipulate timing and generate accuracy and all those things. And I see a lot of that in Talia. I see it I was watching his Ohio State game a little bit earlier. I was watching him at the All-Star too, and it's just he stands out. He manages to stand out for a lot of the reasons that a lot of people fell in love with Tua at Alabama as well. I don't think he's as talented as Tua, but if you want to talk about a guy that can maybe keep the offense on the same schedule if he were to have to come in for a couple of games, I mean, yeah, they play a lot alike. So yeah.
He's really good in the short and intermediate areas,
Oh yeah.
both in terms of timing and accuracy. I also think he's really patient, and he's much better and more athletic than Tua in terms of being able to pick up yardage with his feet. He's much more comfortable doing that.
All right, we're gonna go to break, and when we come back, we will talk running backs. But first, these words.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that business homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 5-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. All right, Simon, not that they would target a running back in this class, but the Dolphins, I look at it through the prism of this. Like, is there a running back out here that you can draft on day three that can challenge the rotation that they're going to have set forth? I don't think so. I think there's one name that intrigues me. Do you have a name, and why is that name Will Shipley?
It's not Will Shipley. So,
oh damn!
I mean, there's quite a lot of players. It's interesting because we've talked about we like the running room, but they've the running back room, but clearly they are, they've got two running backs at least that we know of, Isaac Garendo and Rasheen Ali, coming in on 30 visits. So, that's interesting to me straight off the bat that's what they like. I mean, to me, the best running back in this class is Trey Benson. I don't think it's particularly close. Oh, I think it's two guys at the top, Trey Benson and Jalen Wright of Tennessee. Benson, just an explosive downhill runner, great burst, long speed, makes people miss. He's just a really good player, good hands. And Wright, dynamic long speed, 6.7 yards per carry in the SEC over the last 2 years, a home run hitter, lightly used, excellent hands, great in pass protection. He actually reminds me of Raheem Mostert in terms of how he looks, how he plays physically, his style of play. He's a guy I'd absolutely pound the table for. He was a state champion in the 55 meters and in the, he's run a 10.85, 100 meters, 23.6 miles an hour on GPS. I mean, this is a really good player. In terms of guys that I think that, you know, they might like, there's a number of them. You know, I think, are you looking for a big physical guy? If so, Mayan Williams of Ohio State, I really like. Deshaun Fennick of Oregon State, I think he's a fits that big back profile that teams are looking for. I think he's 6 foot and 225 pounds. You know, Chris and I talked about this kid earlier on, Kamani Vidal of Troy. Now, this is a scheme versatile, tenacious runner, power, balance, burst, arguably the best pass protection back in the draft. He's like a poor man's Maurice Jones-Drew. Excellent hands. He is Hank Aaron's great nephew. So, you know, he knows a bit about high-level sports ability. And there's good players across this class. You go to, you know, way down the list, Ray Davis at Kentucky, really good player. Dylan Johnson at Washington reminds me of Jeff Wilson a little bit in terms of how he plays. And then you go to like the third down backs and, you know, guys, sub-package guys. Blake Watson at Memphis, really good. 5'9", 189, great hands, great in the open field. Dylan Lobby at New Hampshire. I mean, Dylan Lobby is a guy that, you know, you can line up in the slot or as a pure wide receiver. You know, he reminds you of kind of Danny Woodhead and for kind of older heads, Gordy Lockbaum from sort of 25 years ago. He's the only FBS or FCS player with 1,000 yards rushing and 100 catches over the last two seasons. Great sub packet. You know, he's a guy who can run detached routes out of the slot and make plays on the ball downfield. I watched his game against Central Michigan. He had 12 catches for 295 yards and two touchdowns as a running back. You know, this is a guy that can slide across the formation and catch 40-yard slot fades over the shoulder in traffic. So, you know, in terms of a guy that's can do it all as a third down back, as a sub package runner, then Dylan Lobby is a guy that absolutely appears on my radar.
Chris?
This class kind of reminds me why I love the running back position, kind of sifting through, trying to find the diamond in the rough type of guy, because there's so much of choose your flavor, and it's really cool with this position. I think, you know, start with it, toward the top, you know, yes, I 100% agree with Simon about Jalen Wright of Tennessee. And if the Dolphins were to make a surprise choice on day two at 55 overall, then that would probably be it. I don't think it will happen before anybody freaks out about it. But I think that's a really good player. But, you know, guys that Miami might or might not be interested in, for probably more not, like Ray Davis of Kentucky, I think he's a terrific running back. I like him. I think he's a great person. He's a great, you know, he's a really good prospect. I think he's going to play in the NFL. You know, Marshawn Lloyd of USC shows some things. I like him a lot too. They brought in Isaac Guerrero of Louisville. That's not a guy that I like in particular, personally, even though he tested really well and he has great speed. But let's talk about some guys that think
I was reading into him. Sorry to interrupt again. I was reading into him. He has a fabulous pedigree from Mr. Football as a wide receiver, getting recruited to Wisconsin.
Injuries are, it broke his right ankle in high school. And season-ending hamstring injuries in 2017, 2018, 2019. Only played one game in 2020.
So he fits right in with us.
Yeah, four games into the 2021 season. He suffered another season-ending injury when he tore the Lisfranc ligament at his ankle. And he has like four or five season-ending injuries going back to high school. So, yeah, I mean, he's absolutely should be on our radar. I mean, all jokes aside, this is a guy around a 10.51, 100 meters. He's also 24 before training camp, so...
Why are we interested in him? And I think that there's a couple of different molds to pay attention to of what Miami could be interested in as a running back. For example, you mentioned Mayan Williams, you know, who I like a lot as well. But what would he do in Miami? He would compete with Chris Brooks, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
But on the other hand, look at Bucky Irving of Oregon. Who would he compete with? Savon Ahmed, probably. Yeah. I think that there's different flavors going on here. I like Tyrone Tracy a lot of Purdue. He is a wide receiver convert to the running back position, and he plays the running back position like he's grateful to finally be playing the running back position, which is something a little bit new, because running back is so out of favor lately from financial standpoint and whatnot, that I think a lot of running backs would probably wish to be switching the other way and going to wide receiver. But I think Tyrone Tracy is a phenomenal athlete and a good prospect. His tape is really good. I think that that he would fit perfectly in with Miami. The guy that they're interested in, Rasheen Ali of Marshall. I know he's not everybody's flavor, but I think that he's perfect for outside zone. I think that he is for what Miami does, where they run. And if you look at the where they get their yards per carry and where they get their highest pop on plays, they are the kind of plays that Rasheen Ali will run if he were here. He has that kind of speed. And I think that bringing him in and doing a checkup on him is really appropriate, because, you know, he went to the Senior Bowl. He started cooking linebackers in the one-on-one drills and stuff like that. And then he tore his bicep. And so now you don't see him at the combine. You don't really know a lot more information about him. And I think that that's why Miami is probably investigating him. But I think that there are other guys. Kimani Vidal is terrific, as Simon already described him. I think that if you're going undrafted, Frank, you could do a lot worse than Frank Gore Jr., because he is an exciting playmaker, even though he's small. And so, you know, overall, it's just pick your flavor a little bit. I do like Kimani Vidal on that day three area. I do like, you know, Rasheen Ali as in that day three area. I hope that they do get somebody like that, you know, gets the juices flowing a little bit. And then we'll see on Tyrone Tracy, I mentioned before. So
now, Simon, the winner of my Kellen Ballage award this year is Braylon Allen. Okay. I don't think he's as clean a prospect as Kellen Ballage was, which is probably a big red flag for Braylon Allen. I don't like his tape, because you see him starting and stopping his feet way too many times for a guy that's going to be successful at the next level, especially in our system where you have to get to landmarks and get there in a hurry. So he is absolutely not a fit for us. He's probably more about a fit for a gap scheme. I think that he's a flawed prospect. Your thoughts on Braylon Allen, because a lot of our listeners are going to point to the obvious, which is his speed, size, strength, and
I mean, the pluses are that he's 20. He's only 20 years old. You know, he's big and he's physical and he can truck defenders in his path. And there's going to be obvious comparisons to Derrick Henry. You know, he's country strong. He can carry defenders down the field, yards after contact, those sorts of things. He can be patient. I think the downsides are that, you know, he's a slow processor. I've seen him multiple times miss absolutely wide open cutback lanes. I think laterally, he's not great. He can be clunky and uncomfortable moving laterally. I think when he stops his feet, it takes him a little while to get back going, because he doesn't have elite burst. And that just leads to negative plays. He doesn't have the long speed of a Derrick Henry. You know, he's certainly not a slouch, and he's got a 96-yard touchdown on his resume. He's limited as a route runner. He is good in pass protection, but I just don't really
see. He does use his hands really, really well to receive.
I don't know. He's a great combination of size and power, but I just don't think he's, you know, I just think when you miss that many obvious running lanes, that significantly worries me in a league where, you know, everybody at the second and third level is now big and fast and strong, and, you know,
he stares at the obvious way too many times, which was a turnoff for me. Chris, Braylon Allen.
No, I don't have any opinion on him. Although I was going to ask if there's anybody like Carson Steele that you think could be a fullback or an
Yeah.
interesting fullback for Miami.
And Steele's a big guy and he's 228. I mean, he's one of the more interesting people in he was Mr. Football in Indiana as well. He's one of the
Well,
more
look at how
interesting.
he's built, though. I
I
mean,
know.
it's not just the number, right? It's like, look at the body type and the way he's the thickness in certain areas. He's 228 pounds or something like that. He's thick, and it makes you wonder if he's more destined to be that fullback.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting because he was a member of Bruce Feldman's freaks list. He pushed car. He could literally and legitimately push a car down the street when he was 8 years old. He squatted 400 pounds in 8th grade. I mean, this is a big, strong guy, and he's definitely got the frame to add. Like you say, he's 228. Could add 15 pounds and become a viable option at fullback. I think he's got good hands. He does a good job in pass protection anyway. So, with 15 pounds of extra weight, you just don't know. And yeah, he's got the kind of mindset. This is a guy that has a 5 foot pet alligator as a pet and has had it for years and walks it down the street on a lead. So, he's got that fullback mentality.
One question, though, I mentioned it before. I know you don't like him as a safety, but what do you think of Sione Vaki as a running back? Because I think he looks pretty terrific in his
Yeah.
running back tape.
I mean, he's interesting. I mean, he's got the shortest arms. I think he had the shortest arms, certainly of any defensive player at the combine, like 28 inches and 1/8, I think, or maybe 29 and 1/8. But like, he's like Tyrannosaurus Rex. But I thought he was his. I think he had 156 yards rushing against Boise. He was excellent. He had 2 touchdown catches against USC, including running away from a 5-star defender on a long touchdown. Look, I think the interesting thing about Vaki is that he's clearly going to be an excellent special teams player. I think he's pretty limited as a safety. I think he's kind of just a guy. But if you've got a guy that that can come in and essentially play two positions, one on offense, one on defense, and he can play on special teams, the fact that you can keep him around as a special teams maven, a special teams captain, and a guy that can probably play well, who was that safety that Clayton Fajedalem kind of snaps if you really need him to as a safety, but also to be your fourth running back so that it allows you to carry an extra offensive or defensive lineman. That's valuable in the modern game. So I certainly think he'll get drafted probably because of the fact that he's got some multiple strings to his bow. And, when was the last time we saw a two-way player in the NFL?
All right. Now, again, not that the Dolphins will be doing this, but let's say they're in day three, they're going to target somebody to try to crack this rotation. And when I say crack this rotation, I mean press Jeff Wilson for his snaps. Who could that guy be, Simon? Mine would be Will Shipley. I don't think he makes it to day three. I think he's a day two guy. Who's your guy, Simon?
I mean, I think Chris probably nailed him in terms of. I think Rasheen Ali's probably that kind of guy. I think, he's got the acceleration. He's clearly an excellent zone runner. He's patient. He's got good vision. I think at times he left a few yards on the field. I thought he eschewed some lanes at times, but he's got a good feel for what's there when he sees the crease. And this was a kid who grew up as a boxer. He did a lot of boxing when he was younger, boxed a lot as a kid. And you can tell by his footwork. I think his feet are boxer's feet. He moves them very quickly. He's a bit slim. He's a bit high cut. I don't think he's, has the every down physicality you're going to look for. But he's got good hands. The issue for me is fumbles. He's had 10 fumbles in 3 years, four in 2023. That's quite a big concern. And obviously the injuries, and again, kind of fits right in. Tore his ACL 2022, has had some ankle issues, and then the ruptured biceps tendon on day three of the Senior Bowl. So, but in terms of what they're looking for, I think he's a guy. I think Jace McClellan of Alabama is lightly used, 175 carries. But he's thick in the lower half. He's a wide zone, one cut runner. He's got good hands. He runs behind his pads. I didn't see a lot on tape that was sexy necessarily, but In terms of you're looking for a wide zone guy, then that might be him as well. So there's certainly guys out there, I think, if they're looking to add, and we've talked about it earlier on, I didn't think they would look to add, but they're clearly in the mix for a guy, and you're looking at guys who is quick, who is fast, who has got the speed. And Guerrero obviously ran a 4:33. Your boy Will Shipley is pretty fast, runs in the 4:4s. There's certainly some speed out there. So, I don't think a Blake Corum is going to fit there, Bill. I think Jonathan Brooks, coming off the injury again, is that he might not be somebody that they're particularly interested in. Marshall and Lloyd's got some juice, and then it goes back to Wright, Jalen Wright again. But are they going to spend a second round pick on a running back? I don't think so. So, if there's a later round guy, it kind of feels like the needle's pointing towards Rasheen Ali because of the fact that he's a guy that's come in.
Chris, who's your guy?
If I can't say Rasheen Ali because Simon already said him, I'm either going to go with Tyrone Tracy. I mentioned before, wide receiver convert, look, has gained weight up to about 210 pounds to try and make that transition. Comes out looking pretty good on tape for it. I like the urgency that he plays with. I think that there's a lot of attractiveness in his athletic profile, I would say. And so I would look at him. And then the other guy is the guy that we just mentioned. That's, is he a two-way player? I don't know. But Sione Vaki, if you watch his running back, snaps and what, I mean, we're talking about a guy that did score five touchdowns this year, right? And he's a defense, primarily a defensive player, but oh, by the way, he moonlights on offense and scores five touchdowns. I mean, that's something right there. And I think that when you watch him play on offense, there's a reason. I mean, Simon said this off air. He said it on the Discord, but that, he has admitted that more teams are onto him as a running back than as a safety. And I think there's a reason, because when you watch him play and you watch the sort of playmaker that he is, I had visions of Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I know he's not that caliber of player, but he is really dynamic and he's a big play guy. And I think that Mike McDaniel really appreciates big play guys. And I think that he might appreciate the kind of mentality that goes with a player who also plays on defense the way that he does. And then the other thing is, hey, one way to kind of cure your short yardage issues could be to every now and then break out the wildcat. And he was highly successful as a wildcat running back, running the wildcat approach at Utah, like a lot of his more successful carries and touches were off of that. So yeah, I would say Sione Vaque or Tyrone Tracy or Rasheen Ali.
I'm going to change mine to Dylan Lobby. This guy ran
That's your
for
boy.
3,000, almost 3,000 yards as a high school senior. And if Mike McDaniel cannot turn a guy who caught 12 balls for 295 yards and two touchdowns, who can catch 40-yard slot fades over the shoulder in double coverage, into something special, then what have we become? Lobby, the more I think about it, you just look at what he does and the skill set and the threat he is. He can kick. He had five return touchdowns in high school. He had four return touchdowns at New Hampshire. This is a guy that the this is a guy that Mike McDaniel is going to be juicing all over in the non-sex way, but maybe in the sex way as
Thank
well.
you for clarifying that.
Yeah, no worries, no worries.
Before I get my last question in, we've gone 22 minutes talking about running backs. We have not mentioned Frank Gore Jr. Simon, if you could give us 30 seconds on Frank Gore Jr.
Chris actually mentioned him as a kind of a late round free agent guy. I don't particularly love him. I totally get it. As you'd expect, being Frank Gore's son, he's tough, he's hard nosed, he survives contact, he makes yards after it. He doesn't have an elite athletic ability. He's got decent vision, can pick up chunk plays, balance, core strength, low center of gravity, everything that made his dad amazing. He's tough to tackle, but he's vastly undersized, 5'7". Just a hair over 5'7" as well, 199. He's got excellent hands and, could hang on somewhere as a a third down special teams type, but I kind of lacks the athletic juice, I think, as a creator for me. I think he's, a kind of marginal prospect.
Well, it makes you wonder because he's a big play guy. Like if you watch like in his college tape, but then also look at the Shrine game and the game itself. Every time he touched the ball, it was electric, and he was a big play guy. But can he be that at the NFL level, where everybody's bigger, stronger, and so on and so forth? That's the fair amount of skepticism is warranted on that. Because bottom line is he's small and not particularly fast, and so a big play guy who is small and not particularly fast just probably doesn't work. But enough that I would invite him to camp, and let's see.
All right. Last thing, your top three. I'll go first. I'm with you, Simon. Trey Benson, I think, is the best in this class. I think Jalen Wright's number two. You could talk me into almost anybody at number three. Jonathan Brooks, Blake Corum, Bucky Irvin. I'll just say Blake Corum, just because. Your
Yeah,
top three, Simon.
it would be Benson one, Wright at two, Marshall and Lloyd at three, and then I at third down backs. If I wanted to pick a top three third down backs, I'd have Blake Watson at one. I would have Dylan Lobby at two, and I can't even think who I have at three. But yeah, there's some decent third down backs in this class as well. So, but Juwan Jordan of Louisville, who's Isaac Garendo's partner, I think I'd have him as the third down back.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I don't necessarily have a strong opinion on the top three. I do know that I like Jalen Wright a lot, and I actually like Jonathan Brooks as well. But I don't really have a strong opinion there, and it's not where Miami's going to go anyway. So.
Brooks is a good player. I just think the lack of snaps, you look at 548 career snaps. I mean, that is not a lot in terms of, in fact, I think Austin Booker, we all used to talk about Greg Rousseau having a lack of snaps. Austin Booker, the edge rusher from Kansas, only has 505. And I can't remember anybody having that low number of snaps and being that highly regarded. And I'd throw Brooks in the same fan as that. That there's a great Jonathan Brooks stat in a playoff game as a I think he was a senior. He was a senior. How many he had 27 carries, how many yards, and how many let's do yards first, see who gets closest. How many yards did he have in a playoff game as a high school senior? 27 carries for how many yards?
I'll go first.
Sure.
415.
Okay, Chris.
I was, if it's 27 carries, I was going to go 270.
Did you say 270? He carried 27 times for 501 yards.
I was low.
And how many touchdowns?
Oh, I easily has to be six.
Chris?
For that many yards, I'm going to go with 10.
Nine. So his
He
stat lines.
essentially duplicated the Dolphins' performance against the Broncos by himself.
Yeah, his stat line was 27 carries, 501 yards, and nine touchdowns. He scored on runs of 3, 69, 25, 1, 6, 36, 29, 46, and 52 yards. Crazy. Crazy.
Insane.
Love it.
All right. We are done right here for quarterbacks and running backs. The next time we talk to you, you will hear from us about pass catchers, wide receivers, and tight ends. That
Ooh,
one's going to be kind of
special.
interesting.
That
All right.
could be long.
Yes.
Wide receiver class. Ooh.
Oof.
But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.